This really does set up where we're going in week five of Kaleo. If you've been tracking with us and coming on the weekends, you know that we've been talking about Kaleo, which means called. And we've been called to do a lot of things, haven't we? We've been talking about that. Last week, Pastor Steve said we're called to belong. And so today, I want to talk to you about being called to serve. We're being called to serve. The Greek word for this is literally ministry. It's diakonia, which is translated ministry, which is to serve. We're called to ministry. Every single one of us who is a follower of Christ is called into ministry to be a minister. You are a minister of the gospel. You are a minister. Doesn't matter what your job title and vocation is. You are all about ministry, or at least you should be. And that word translated is serve. You're one to serve. And so as we talk about, for Pete's sake, you know, there's all kinds of things that we can get plugged into in serving in our day-to-day lives. And so here we talked about church, and we have all kinds of opportunities and booths out there that we want to say, you know, if you're not serving in the church, you know, this is your family church. If this is what you call your family church, we're your family, and we need you, and we need each other. And so we want to encourage you to get plugged in and serving in the variety of ministries. But you can be serving in ministries that are all around town. There's ministry that's happening. In fact, you can be doing ministry in your schools. You can be doing ministry at work. Your life should be about ministry and serving those around us. And yet we live in a time, and our culture says that it's all about me. I'm too busy, I got too many things on my plate, I'm too stressed out, I'm too overwhelmed, I got too many things, and I get focused in on me and what I need and what I'm doing and what I want, and I, and we miss that life's not about you. And you've been put into lives, whether it be in your home, in your place of work, in your community, to do life with people and to be a ministry to those people. That God has shaped you and gifted you. He's molded. He did not make an accident. He's given you different abilities and your personality and things that he wants to draw out and use as you connect and you do life with people on a day-to-day basis. And so every single one of us is called to serve. And what greater example is there in Scripture than Jesus in his 3 years of ministry as we read through the Gospels and see that that's what he was about? If anyone was to be served, if anyone was to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if anyone that shouldn't have to be the one that's stooping down to wash feet and to serve others, it's Jesus, and yet his whole life is example. And his ministry was serving and loving and connecting with people. In fact, in Jesus' own words in Matthew, you'll see on your outline, chapter 20, verse 28 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? But to serve. But to serve. And so I want to encourage you and have you think about today is in what areas are you serving? Are you ministering in your home, in your workplace? Now, through this Kaleo series, you know, our family personally is saying, hey, how can we step up to these things that we're called to do? And one of the things that we've implemented, again, we do this from time to time, but get away from it because we get busy, distracted, lazy, name it. I'm with you. I connect with you. That I have great intentions, and yet oftentimes follow through isn't always there. But one of the things through this series that Patty and I have begun doing with our two youngest is at dinner table at night is that we go around the table and we say a few things. What's our highlight of the day? What's our low light of the day? And now through this series, we've included now what way are you serving or encouraging or doing something for someone else? And then for the sake of one in particular child that will remain nameless, what is one nice thing that came out of your mouth that you said to somebody today? And so we go around, and the very first night that we did this at the start of the series, my youngest, you know, what did you do? And he goes, well, I let somebody use my highlighters in class. Okay, well, that's step one, right? You're getting the concept that you have something that's yours and you allowed somebody else to use it. Right on. We, you know, applaud that. That's great. Well, night number four, as we're going around the table, he said, well, I let somebody use my highlighters. Okay, That's good, but we already used that one. So are you doing anything else in your day-to-day, you know, activities and school and so forth? And his response was, Dad, I got good highlighters. Everyone in my class wants to use them. I think he's banking on the fact that he's going to got at least 27 more people that he's going to be able to allow to use his highlighters. We need those examples, though, and those reminders constantly. And so as we're trying to instill that in our kids, it really is instilling it into Patty and I. Okay, because we got to answer too. How are we serving? How are we connecting? How are we encouraging? How are we being the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus in our everyday walk? Now, if you know anything about my teaching, you know that I love to take a person or a story that means that's going to be able to connect and draw a picture for you, because whether I'm boring and you fall asleep or you get hungry or whatever, you can draw back to the main idea, and it's a story or a person. And today, because of our video, I want to say, let's talk about For Pete's Sake. And I want to talk about Peter. Now, Peter, if you're familiar with him, he's well-documented in Scripture, because Peter, as one of the 12 disciples, is one that had more one-on-one conversations with Jesus, and some of them are ones that he didn't want to have. But Peter is the one that had some great highs in life. I mean, he's the preacher that got to preach the day of Pentecost. And yet we know that Peter's had low of lows, in which he denied that he even knew Jesus. He's run the gamut of being that guy who's always sticking his foot in his mouth and saying things and reacting without really thinking, processing. A lot of immaturity comes out in Peter's early ministry when Jesus called him to follow me. And so I really relate to Peter, because it's like, man, I'm right there with you in many of those stories in which I act, I react, I do, I say, and yet then there's a greater lesson that I got to learn. And so I want to talk about a specific story in Peter's life. And if you have your Bible or your outline, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Let me set the background for you really quick. Just before this time in which we're going to talk about, Jesus had just done an incredible thing. Jesus had just, you know, he was getting more and more popular. Word was spreading that this teacher, this one who knows all, this one who does miracles, this great teacher, rabbi, is coming from place to place, and people are gathering, and more and more and more, and so great crowds are gathered. So we are on a hillside in which a lot of people have followed Jesus and the disciples of this place. They've been doing a lot of teaching. A lot of ministries happen on the side of this mountain. And yet they're too far from the city just to go grab something to eat. But the disciples realize that, man, these people, they've got to eat something. And so Jesus takes a little boy's lunch and begins to multiply it and feed 5,000 people. Miracle. Mind blower. They have baskets left over. I mean, you want to talk about the disciples going, wow, this is incredible. Truly, he must be the Messiah. Truly, he must be all that he says that he is. Jesus, at the conclusion of that, says, you know what? He gives them a new destination. He puts the 12 disciples on the boat and says, I will catch up to you later. I'm going to go finish and dismiss and send these people on their way. Now, again, that should have been a really big indicator. Like, we're taking the boat. How are you going to get there? Scripture says that after he dismissed the people, he went up upon the mountain. And this is a great commercial for you if you ever get a chance to go on an Israel trip, because literally you can go to the area in which that you see across to where they were headed, and you see the mountainside that probably Jesus was somewhere on there. It says that he went up to pray to his Father, and he can see off in the distance, and he sees the disciples in the boat, and they're struggling. The wind is picked up. The waves begin to rock. And as the oars go through and they're trying to get across to the other side, it's become incredibly difficult. And Scripture says that Jesus can literally see and watch, because as the storm's coming in and as they're fighting against trying to get across the other side, they're not having much success. And several hours go by. Now you're caught up. Take a look in Scripture. As we finish the story in verse 25, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them and he was walking on the lake. That's pretty cool. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. 12 grown men crying out in fear as they see this figure approaching, walking on water. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." I love the picture here that Matthew paints for us, because it goes to our emotions, and it goes to the fact of just realism that you see something that's not natural, that shouldn't be happening, and yet it is happening, and you're trying to process that. As you're struggling in this storm and you're freaked out, and the question is how do you respond? There's three things that I really want you to capture from Peter's story from this. And the first one is this, if you want to write it down, is that you have to step up. We need to step up. I love to put myself in the end of the story and think about what each person, each figure must have been thinking and processing as this is happening. What were these 12 guys in the boat and the waves are coming and the wind is howling and they're tired and they haven't had sleep and they're struggling and they see Jesus coming and they're petrified, scared the pants, maybe even some of them, you know, peed a little, okay? I don't know. It's possible. I would have. What must they have been thinking? When Jesus says, "No, it's I," does that calm their nerves? Does that calm their fears? Does that say, "Oh my gosh, that's pretty cool. I wonder how he did that. I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if this is a dream. I wonder what." And I go through these things, but one person steps up. He's the one that always is the first to talk. And it's Peter. And it reminds me oftentimes that I have great intentions in life. I have great intentions about in ministry, about, man, I should call that person. I should send that person a text. I should write them a letter. I should spend time. I should. I have incredible intentions. You guys would think I'm the greatest guy in the world. But my follow through is pathetic. And so we see how Matthew, in verse 28, tells the story. It says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter said, "tell me to come to you on the water. If it's you, God, let me, Jesus, step out of the boat. I want to come to you." Stepping up that Peter does is just the first step in a process. And a lot of us have intentions of stepping up. And so we say things or we have some motivation that's oftentimes short-lived. But we have to have the raw willingness to do something that's out of the ordinary. And I hope through today's message that you understand, are you willing to step out of your comfort zone, out of the busyness of your own life, out of the stresses and the pressures that you have to say, man, it's not about me, and this might be weird, this might be hard, but I need to step up. I need to do something that maybe is not ordinary or not something that's predictable. And there's an area of ministry that I need to serve in, or there's a conversation that I need to have, or encouragement I need to give, or somebody that I need to link arms with during this season. Are you willing to step up? Here's the second one. We need to be willing to step out. Stepping out, he comes in, because Jesus responds and says, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. And, you know, again, a great picture from my mind because, you know, I've gone with Kevin on the boat. You know, if you guys follow Fat Man and Sons, I mean, the guy, he would live on the boat if he was allowed to. He's a boat guy. I'm not a boat guy, but I'm a great sunbather. And so I go on the boat and oftentimes, you know, after a busy weekend at Bass Lake and the water's choppy and he's pulling up to the dock and it's just like, you have a split second that he's like, get off, you know, get on the dock. Well, 250 plus pounds doesn't get off things very fast, especially when they're rocking and they're moving. And so there's been times in which I've had one foot in the boat, one foot on the dock, and it's questionable which direction I'm going. Peter didn't have a dock. So there's a picture, if you will, that you say, well, stepping out seems easy. No, stepping out's not easy. He's climbing up over the side of the boat to do something that's never been done before. by him or that he's witnessed, to get down while you're holding yourself up, while your toes are touching the water, because you're trying to put yourself on a surface that really is never been a solid surface, and questioning whether that's really going to happen. It's stepping out. And I think how many of the other guys in the boat were probably thinking, man, I'm glad it's him, not me. Or, hey, you better check this out because he's going to sink like a rock. That's right, his name, right? Peter the Rock. Let's see how deep this water is right here. Maybe some were like jealous or envious, like, man, I wish I would have said that before. And so they're cheering him on maybe, or they're encouraging him to step out. Here's the third one. Step on. You're going to step up, you're going to step out, but then you have to step on. Stepping on in ministry literally is the follow through that we're talking about. You're going to step out of your comfort zone, stepping out of the ordinary. You're going to step on to something that is so brand new. And oftentimes this is where a lot of the messages, when you read through this text and passage, is where we go for Peter's lack of faith. We pick up in the story in verse 30, it says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hands and he caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down and those who were in the boat worshiped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. I find that pretty humorous. They didn't know it a chapter ago and Jesus just fed a lot of people with a little boy's lunch. Or back in, I think it's Matthew 8, when Jesus was in the boat and there was another storm in which he was asleep and like a baby at the end. I mean, they have already seen Jesus do Jesus things. And yet somehow this completely said, man, you truly are the Son of God. And we talk about how Peter's lack of faith, because he began to sink. Here's what I find encouraging, uplifting. Peter is the one, it says that as he began to walk, we don't know how far it was, but it was far enough that he was away from the boat, but close enough to Jesus that Jesus, it says, when he began to sink and he got afraid, that Jesus was there to grab him and pull him back up. Do you have the ability to step on and to follow through when things get a little shaky, when things get a little rough in life, when things get a little bit hard? To step on. Inside your outline, you see your ministry calling, because as a disciple of Christ, I just want you to look at the fact that you are called to serve. You were created to serve. You were saved to serve. You were gifted to serve. You are needed to serve. It's not a question whether you have what it takes. God says, I created you, I molded you, I shaped you, and as a follower of Christ, you are a minister to do the ministry that I've gifted you to do. To step up, to step out, and to step on to what I've called you to do. Now, there are all kinds of benefits of serving. And a lot of times, you know, we think, well, what's in it for me? You know, that's been my kids' thing, you know. It's like, hey, take out the trash. Well, can I have any money? No, but you have a butt whooping if you don't get the trash outside. But we look at what's the benefit for me in often things. And the crazy thing is that there is a benefit when you are meeting the needs and serving others. You will be blessed. As you're a blessing and a blessing others, you are the one that's being blessed. And so I gave you, there's all kinds of benefits, but because they asked me to come speak, since, you know, they needed to be a short one and didn't ask Shane and Steve to come up here, I narrowed it down to three in my last 10 minutes. Here's the first one. Serving others brings joy. It brings joy into my life as I'm obedient and I'm generous. Gosh, how many of us need joy? How many of us went through this last week and didn't truly experience joy at home, in our workplace, at school. See, when you realize that life's not about you and you can get outside your own struggles and your own stresses and your own, you know, whatever's going on, and you see that, man, by serving others, by being obedient to how God wants to use me and opening my eyes to see the needs of those people that he's put in front of me, I begin to recognize and say, man, it's a joy to serve and to give back. And as I'm using my time and my talents and my treasures for the glory of God, I receive so much joy as I allow God to use me for those kingdom purposes. I love that Peter got this decades later. Decades later, he says in 1 Peter, when he wrote in chapter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. To use the gift that God's given you. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all your strength and do it with all your energy. Do what God's gifted and shaped and molded you to do, and do it for his glory. And as you give back and as you do that, you will be blessed and receive so much joy. It's allowing God to use those things. You know, for some of us, you know, we come here and we talk about, bless you, children's ministry. And it's like, man, I'm so glad I got done with that. And yet you have no idea what some families are going through this last week. And the fact that you're willing to sit for an hour and 15 minutes and hold a baby, to play with a toddler, to sit in a classroom, does incredible things for parents when they can just say, man, I can come in here and for the next hour and 15 minutes, I don't have to be hearing mom, 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 dad, 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 dad. I don't have to be structuring and getting on them and trying to, I can come and I get to worship. I can read and allow God to speak into my life and fill me back up. You say, well, it's just holding babies. It's just sitting in a classroom and helping out. No, it's so much more. It's so much more. It's being allowing God to use your gifts and talents, but it's also your life circumstances to be a blessing for others, as we've had some people that have walked through the messiness and the pains of a divorce. And as they come through the other side and dealing with that, then they begin to say, how can I help others who are walking down that same path? All of a sudden, a ministry is birthed. We have divorce care. Or we have people that say, man, I've lost a loved one, and the grieving process is powerful. It's intense. It's hard. It's a struggle. But now I feel like I'm on the other side of that. And then you can come alongside others who are grieving and struggling with loss. And then you get a ministry birth called Grief Share. All kinds of different ministries. People that knows what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck and not know where you're gonna lay your head at night. And they start ministries of serving those people that are sleeping outside, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Number two, serving others surrounds me with believers who can help me follow Jesus. See, when you're working alongside other people, a bond inevitably grows and forms. This is God's plan for the church, to begin using us as Christ followers in a church community that say, man, together we can, and it's amazing. As we grow deeper relationships and, you know, having your small group is a great way to get plugged in, to go do a serve project together, to go help down at Poverello House, to go help with one of our ministries in our community, or to help with our ministries within the church, and you're doing it together. And some of my funnest times in doing that was just the relationship part of it. It wasn't actually the work that was involved, but it was the jokes and the laughs and the hanging out and definitely the pizza afterwards. That's what we're designed for. That's what we come here for. It's not just to spend an hour and 15 minutes and you had to spend two, three seconds turning around, shaking those hands around you and then going your merry way. We are meant to do this together. In Hebrews, that's what I love in chapter 10, 24, it says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. That togetherness, that we're not neglecting meeting together, but as we're coming together, we're encouraging each other and lifting each other up and helping each other. Because as I connect with others, it teaches me to share my story and it reminds me that I'm blessed when I'm able to be a blessing. The Message paraphrase says this in Proverbs 11, 25, the one blesses others is abundantly blessed and those who help others are helped. Are you doing things outside of your own little world of me? Here's the third one. Serving others helps me be more like Jesus. Is that not what it's all about? The goal is that I'm more Christ-like as a Christ follower today than I was yesterday in my thoughts, in my speech, in my actions. Now, it might not always be the case, because I'm a broken man. But that should be the goal. That should be what we're searching and trying and seeking out. That tomorrow I'm gonna be better than today in my walk, in my faithfulness, in my surrender to Christ. And by serving others, it helps me be more like Jesus because I am his hands and his feet and his whole ministry was about serving. About connecting and loving others. And when we move out of our comfort zone, it allows God to increase our own faith. Countless stories of people in doing ministry that has just been blown away and been a blessing. See, when you see what he can do and you see God using you and the power that comes to you, you say, that's not me. I don't know how that happened. You know, we have, you know, Bill Glass ministry for the jails around. And it's just incredible that every single guy that I've talked to, you know, these you tough guys, it's a little scary when you're walking into a place that's unfamiliar and those doors shut and you're trying to share your faith with others. Every single guy I talk to comes out and goes, dude, it was way bigger blessing for me. Man, I got grown, I got stretched, I got to share Jesus, I got to connect with other guys, and it's been an incredible time. It's saying, man, I wanna be like Jesus. And so God, I'm surrendering to you to wherever that's gonna lead me and take me. For some of us, it might be taking us around the world. It might be taking us far out of our comfort zone. It might be taking us downtown to G Street. It might just be taking us right across the street on Milburn. It might just be here, but God is calling each and every single one of us for his purpose to be fulfilled and lived out in our life. And through that, it makes us more like Jesus. I love Matthew 25. Jesus is saying this, he's saying, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And the preface of that is saying, you know, when Jesus did we give you a drink? When were you hungry and we gave you food? And he's saying, as you're doing life and as you do for others in ministry, it's just like you're doing it for me. I got 3 minutes left. Here's how I want to close today. I want to say that as Pete gave us a great example, there's something that he got. And that's that if you read through the other gospels, specifically that's Mark's gospel of this story, you know they retell this story. Now Mark, if you didn't know this, wasn't one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't on the boat. So when he wrote the book of Mark, what he did is he had divine leading through the Holy Spirit to allow him to pen those words. But he also had a spiritual father, a mentor. Mark did, and you know what his name was? His name was Peter. Peter was a mentor to a young Mark. In fact, if you go to 1 Peter 5, it says Peter refers to Mark as his son. his spiritual son. And so you got to know that Peter, in spending time with Mark, was literally pouring into him and recounting the ministry of Jesus in those 3 years. And a young Peter would have been so much like me, and he would have just told one of those huge fish stories, you know, where they keep getting grander and grander. And young Peter would have been like, man, you should have saw those waves. They were like 10-foot swells. They were coming into the boat. And all the other chickens, man, those guys, they're wimps. I'm the one who stepped and said, Jesus, let's do this. You know, if that's you, I want to walk on water like you are. And Jesus said, come. And so, man, I just jumped off the boat. And I just walked on and I definitely would have left out the whole sinking part, because that's not cool to the reputation. Mark's account of the gospel, you can read on your outline or in your Bible, same story, never even mentions Peter's name or that event. You know why? Because I believe that as Peter matured in his faith, that Peter got it. It wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. And as you read Mark's account, it's all about Jesus. My prayer today is that we realize that life's not about us. It's about Jesus. And being called to do what he's called us to do, and being willing to say, I'm willing to step up, step out, and step on wherever that goes. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would just, as we just digest this word, God, that you would encourage us, God, to be your hands and feet. As Christ followers, we'd give our time to you. We love you and praise you. Amen.